We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
It's hard when the band outpowers the host 5-2, but that's a lot of players. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one of your hosts, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolik is trying to find us. We are super crowded today. Freelance Wales is here. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. And they're going to be around a whole show, playing some more live songs, DJing for us a little bit, and eating some Roberta's pizza.
That's going to have to happen. So
welcome to Snacky Tunes, second show of the year. It is really cramped in here,
but it's great.
We are excited. We had another good weekend. Speaking of Freelance Wales, they are on French Kiss Records, and we went to go see Passion Pit who had three sold out nights at the at Terminal 5, just to give some type of reference point. A year ago, we booked them to play at Glasslands in December, and then so it's really easy. Get a band, play Glasslands. 1 year later, three sold out shows at Terminal 5. Right? Is that
Paul?
Am I right?
Paul, that's about right.
We have
through the promotion of Fingers on the Pulse.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
So, essentially, it's always and for will always be about us.
Yeah, it's always this world. But Paul from French Kiss is here. Who have known for actually you were one of the first friends I met in New York. I bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Through Kara.
That's true. That was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. We hung out in Jersey City a bunch, and I was like, why are the bars closing at 2 when there's a place right across the river that closes at 4? And that's the extent of my Jersey City outreach.
Anyway,
not Jersey City.
No. All right. Do you still live there?
I don't live there right now. I live in Manhattan.
When did you move?
In April.
All right.
Oh,
enough.
In April. Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Oh, I don't live there.
We are a new member of the band. We are very, very excited because this week we are DJing for one of the people we love to DJ the most, and that's Roberta's, and they're having another fundraiser, and we are joined by one of the lovely owners.
Yep. What's up? First annual Meatball Throwdown.
Is that named after the dog?
Yeah, of course.
There's
we name everything after the dog.
Yeah, which is funny because even the vegetarian pizzas are called Meatball.
Right.
That dog is a force.
That dog is a force.
So why don't you tell us about this Meatball Throwdown?
So live at the Meat Hook, if you guys aren't familiar, the Meat Hook on Meeker Avenue, Tom Myland, formerly of Marlo and Daughters, and Brent, and Harry and his wife from Brooklyn Kitchen have a brilliant place over there, the Meat Hook, and they're letting us have a meatball contest.
And who will be contesting in the meatball?
Roberta's, obviously. You know,
boom.
To pump ourselves. Roberta's, whoop whoop
whoop whoop.
Roebling Tea House, Frankie Spatino's, Bamante's. It's gonna be and the guys from the Meat Hook as well.
Wait,
should be fun.
Roebling Tea House.
Roebling Tea House.
Now, are you?
Room.
Little Owl didn't get in there. Little Owl is like only known for their meatballs.
Really? Well,
bummer. Next time.
Bummer.
But next so year. Second annual.
My question is now this might change the game, but is it all beef meatballs or is it like I don't know?
I think we're allowing them to really come up with whatever they think is going to win this contest.
We had venison meatballs last week and they were okay.
Let's be honest. I mean, the blend of pork, veal, and chuck.
That's like, what I'm talking about. That's really the classic and probably will get most people's hearts.
Yeah, because that's sort of like that. They figured it out a long time ago and like it's great. Here's a duck meatball. That's fine. But you're gonna be like, oh, it's missing like the full flavor.
Yeah, it's missing the pork and the veal. And
well, wait, you're giving away the trade secrets.
Yeah,
I'm kind of curious. Is there gonna be sauce involved in the thing, or is it just kind of like free range? And we might.
It's gonna. You know, all these teams are gonna do what they do best, and we'll see. We'll see what comes out on the other end.
Who are the judges?
Yes. Who are the judges?
You know what? I didn't actually. I don't have a judge list. I'm not sure. We tried to. We definitely tried to get a lot of people.
Jessica Amoson from The Wire Fact, who was our guest last week. Yep. We got asked 10 minutes before the show to be a judge, but then
her and there's this really hot Italian lady that's judging. We tried to get Tony Bennett. I don't know if he ever responded back to us.
and
Al Roker. We were shooting for Al Roker.
Do we not get a spot on this judge thing?
Oh, you guys. I mean, you guys' opinion always matters here and everything,
but just maybe not in the official capacity. Yeah.
I don't know if I can. You'll be able to taste all the meatballs through the Jameson coat that you'll be wearing on your tongue, Darren.
That's true. That's true.
If you could somehow base these meatballs in Jameson, we could enhance the flavors on both sides.
Of course. You know, it DJing for us always involves a giant bottle of whiskey.
And I love it because it's always gift wrapped. Like it's some like sneaky thing. Like it's just wrapped in a brown bag or Christmas wrapping or something like that.
Always.
So where, when, what are the details? Cost.
So let's see, January 15th, 8 p.m. at the Meat Hook. Like I said, it's 100 Frost in Brooklyn. Let's see, it's $75 at the door, $50 in advance. And you can buy these tickets on the Brooklyn Grange website, which you can also get to through the Roberta's website.
And just one more time, what is the money going to? This is a fundraiser for?
For the rooftop farm, the Brooklyn Grange, which is our rooftop farm project. We're trying to create a viable farming in Brooklyn. So, you know, we've talked about this a bunch of times on the show.
Well, you know, Brooklyn Grange is a big part of Roberta's and Heritage Radio Network. So promoting local rooftop converted gardens. I'm all right talking about it a couple times.
Yep.
So, all right, Brendan, thanks for coming.
No problem.
Do you want to play? You guys want to play another song? Should we play something recorded? What do you think? Yeah. All right, they're gonna. All right, Freelance Whale is gonna play another song, and then we're gonna have Sarah Boley from SVF Foundation.
So excited.
Which is, if you guys don't know, the SVF Foundation. We don't want to give it all away, but they are cryogenically freezing rare livestock in order to prevent their extinction, and in case create races in case consumer taste goes towards.
It's essentially
the future.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Take everything you learn from the documentary Jurassic Park, but apply it to sheep and cows and pork. So Jurassic Pork.
Yeah. So what is what's this?
Boom.
What's this what was that first song called?
Oh, that was called Generator First Floor.
Love opening track. Love it.
It is.
And what is what's this one going
to
be?
This one is towards the end of the album and it's called Generator Second.
Great.
All right. Anyway, you're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Big shout out to Whole Food Market, sponsored today. Always good food, good beer. And if you haven't seen their cheese section on Houston, do yourself a favor and get to the city. Jack Insling, Rec Tech, making us sound good. But
and
here we go.
Dave Jacobs wants a shout out because he's your lawyer.
Man. A requested shout out.
And he said that shout out will now cost you $250.
Anyway, so here we go again. Freelance Whales on Snacky Tunes. Take it away.
Yes.
Thank you, good sir.
Yes. Freelance Wales on Snacky Tunes. We're your host, Finger on the Pulse. That was awesome. We will be interviewing the band and hearing more live tunes from them and some recorded songs, but I keep kind of want to make you play live because you're here and it's already set up. But first off,
very excited. So last week in the New York Times in the food section, we came across an article about the SVF Foundation, which is a, I guess, society that's dedicated to preserving germplasm, embryos, semen, genetic material of rare and endangered breeds of livestock. And every once in a while, you read about an article and you see something that just blows your mind. And this was like, we have not stopped talking about it. So we are very lucky to be joined by Sarah Boley from the SVF Foundation. Sarah, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
How are you?
Good, how are you guys?
We are great. So as you can tell from my general enthusiasm and excitement of you last week, we are like in awe of what you guys are doing. And if you could give a brief overview about what you do and what your mission statement is.
Sure, okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the article. Basically, we are a nonprofit private foundation based here in Newport, Rhode Island, and we collect semen and embryos, which is collectively referred to as germplasm, and we work with endangered breeds of livestock, so mostly cattle, sheep, and goats. We work with breeders around the country. We bring their animals here to our facility in Newport, Rhode Island, collect the embryos and semen. They're here for about 12 to 18 months, and then they're placed back in breeding programs, and we keep all of the germplasm here at our facility in liquid nitrogen.
So that means you have a combination of, I guess, cryogenically frozen material and then also live animals on the farm.
Yes, exactly. We usually have about 100 to 125 head of animals at any one given time. We've got a 46-acre farm here, and then we have about 40,000 units of germplasm, again, the semen and embryos that are stored.
Now, before we get into the actual animals, let's start at the beginning. What is the, again, simple process of how you take the harvested eggs and semen and actually turn them into animals?
Okay, so what we do is semen and embryo collection. So we actually don't collect eggs or ovum, but the animals are bred, and so when we collect the embryos, it's actually a fertilized egg. So it's at day 6 or 7 in gestation, and when we collect it, it's flushed through the uterus, it is frozen in liquid nitrogen, and it stays there theoretically forever. Things that have been cryogenically preserved can be maintained indefinitely as long as everything is done correctly, and it stays at that very cold temperature, usually negative 196 degrees. And so once we have that preserved, we'll do one or two embryo transfers where we'll actually thaw the embryo, put it in a surrogate dam to just prove the whole process works. But for the most part, what we collect remains in the tanks. We're just creating a frozen library of genes.
So how does, the population of these animals expand?
Well, what we're trying to do is support people out there that are working in sustainable agriculture, that are working to find niche markets for these breeds. So the on-the-hoof conservation is a big part of what we like to support. We work with various breeders who are actually breeding these animals today, getting them on the ground, trying to find a market, either selling their meat or their wool or their dairy products. But because these breeds are not as improved as traditional or commercialized breeds, they're being lost. They're breeds that are dual-purpose, tri-purpose, and they just can't compete in the economy that we have created for all these industrialized breeds. So there's a bunch of people out there that are hanging on, that are trying to keep them alive and on the hoof, as we like to say. But just in case they go extinct, we want to make sure that we have that genetic diversity preserved in the frozen state. So that's the component we bring to it at SVF.
Have you found a rise over the years with more local farming and more adventurous taste in a mainstream diet that the what you're doing is, I guess, more important, but also a large demand for this type of work?
Yeah, certain breeds like the Belted Galloway is pretty popular here in New England now, and that was not critically endangered, but it was on the threatened list, and people found that it is a great dual purpose. You can milk them, they're really good for meat, and they do really well on for grass-fed beef situations, so people that have acreage either in their backyard or they have a couple hundred acres and they want to raise these guys, they create really, really good, tasty, flavorful beef. And they found some interesting nutritional aspects to the grass-fed beef. So some of these rare breeds are working their way into the sustainable agriculture because, again, they were the old traditional breeds that were brought over by the colonists, and they were good for two or three things on the farm. You know, you would have your cow out there, you would milk her, she would work this land, and then you would eat her when you were done with her. And, you know, tri-purpose. And instead, what they've done is one breed for one purpose. So now you've got your Holstein creating your dairy, your Angus for your beef production, and these breeds have kind of fallen by the wayside. So they're slowly finding niche markets here and there with the sustainable agriculture and with the backyard farms that are popping up here and there, but we're trying to make sure that they're here preserved for the future hundreds of years if we need to. In case we want to reawaken a breed, we'll have it available.
Let's talk about some of the breeds that you have now. I think your mascot is it Chip, the fainting goat?
Yeah, isn't he handsome?
He is a handsome, handsome devil. does he actually faint?
No.
Okay.
So he's a Tennessee fainting goat is what the breed is called. It's also the myotonic goat, and they have a condition called myotonia. And so they'll actually stiffen and fall over, but it's more a mock paralysis. They don't actually faint. They're conscious the whole time.
I can't imagine how they got extinct or they went to the wayside.
Yeah,
what a defense mechanism.
Yeah, wasn't a defense mechanism by any stretch of the imagination. But they became popular with people because of the double muscling that forms when this actual mock paralysis happens. It creates a really good meat buildup, muscle buildup in the tissue. And so they're actually known as Texas stiff-legged goats or wooden-legged goats, and they're a really, really good meat option for people that are looking for something that's not going to escape the backyard. Chip's our mascot.
So, and you also, what other breeds you have, pork and cow and things like that?
Well, we're focusing on cattle, sheep, and goats right now. So for cows, we've got some Ancient White Park, some Randall Linebacks. We're actually starting to work with the Piney Woods, which are from down south, so we're going to see how they do in our New England weather here. We've got Cotswold sheep, some Santa Cruz sheep, Tunis. We're focused on about 20 different breeds that we want to really preserve, while we're in full steam here. And so we've got about 16 different breeds on site, you know, right now.
Worst case scenario, you know, cattle population of America sort of decimated or by disease, something like that. How fast could you take what you guys have and make, restore the balance of the cattle population in America?
Well, because we do so much work with embryos, what we like to say is we could reawaken a breed within one generation. So instead of just storing semen and having to do a breeding up program, we'd be able to reawaken full purebred, whatever, you know, breed we choose to reawaken. And so with our numbers, we'd be able to bring back about 50 live females to work with, and then we'd have about 3,000 straws of semen stocked up to use for outbreeding, you know, purposes within the same breed. So starting from that small herd, it would take a very careful breeding up, and it depends on, you know, why we would need to reawaken a certain breed. Everybody knows Holsteins are so inbred that if some mega superbug came in and wiped out all the Holsteins, we would be down millions and millions of animals. So it would take a lot of work to reestablish a population to replace all the Holsteins. It depends on the certain situation that you're looking at. But within one generation, we would have pure-blooded, rare-breed animals back on the ground, ready to procreate and either sustain the mega bug that's out there or fill a niche, market. If there was a certain flavor of meat or texture of milk out there that, you know, people are looking for that has been lost, we would be able to bring that back as well.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much. This is really just an amazing thing that you are doing.
Oh, I'm glad.
And if we wanted more information or to actually visit the farm, where could we go?
Our website, www.scffoundation.org, has a lot of information on it, and we are actually open one day a year to the public. So if anybody wants to come down this Saturday, June 12th, Saturday, June 12th, we're going to be open to the public. Because of biosecurity, we're closed most of the time, but we're open, free for people to come in and see our facilities that one day.
Sarah, I'm sure you're going to be packed this coming summer.
We are.
Sarah, thank you so much, and thank you for being on Snacky Tunes.
Oh, thank you.
So we're going to have Freelance Oils play one live song, and then Terry's going to play us a set of music, and then we're going to come back, talk to the band about travels, digital releases, busking, and whatever else comes to mind. Once again, you are listening to Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. Big shout out to the Dinner with the Band crew who are working at the Rising Tide Life. We love you guys. We'll be back shortly. Jack Inslee and RecTech, thank you. And big shout out to Whole Foods, who kind of showed that you can build your own dream and then turn it into a supermarket chain with really good, delicious food. What? It's true. That's what they did. Freelance. Here you go. Freelance Whales.
Till the
All right. Moving Mountains. Snacking Tunes. New band this week. We started doing our outreach for background music for Dinner with the Band, and that is one of the fantastic EPs that got sent our way. Yeah. So,
and before that was Splash into Serpents by White Octave, and before that was Come On by Soft Cell.
I have not heard of White Octave in like 5 years.
They're making a comeback.
They are not making a comeback. At the Drive-In might be making a comeback, but they are not. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
2010 at the Drive-In Reunion. I'm just going to call it.
Yeah, we're going to call it.
Yeah. So in studio today, you've already heard from them. We have Freelance Whales. Welcome. The five of you.
Do you want to go through and say who you are and what you do in the band? And then what you do in life.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll start left.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
how about you, Jake?
Oh, hey, I'm Jake. I'm the drummer, and I'm also a freelance writer in life.
I'm Doris, and I play bass and harmonium and glockenspiel, and sometimes I play synth.
What do you do?
What do I do? This is what I do.
Yeah, my name is Kevin. I mostly play guitar, but I also play synths and bells and harmonium. Yes, and I'm recently unemployed.
Congratulations. Welcome to the ranks.
Thank you.
My name is Chuck. I am also unemployed, except for this band. And I'm a multi-instrumentalist. Kind of just play whatever needs to get played. So we do a lot of switching of instruments. So, banjo, guitar, synthesizers, all that good stuff.
Hey, I'm Judah, and I also play banjo, synthesizers, bass guitar, and we all sing, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very important.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
what
is
you important. Heard earlier.
Harmonies.
Yeah. Harmonies. So the first time that I saw you guys was busking, I believe on Bedford.
Yeah.
And then also on First and First in that little area. Yeah. And I was like, huh, you are, I think, one of the three bands that I stopped to watch ever in busking. That was not like you're standing next to me while I'm waiting for my train. So, and I was like, but I'm like, what are the odds of ever finding out who this band is? You know, and I don't want to ask because you guys are playing. But
it's
then,
really out there so that you would find
yeah. So that I know. Well, that's my own fault. That would it could have been a misconnection. However, Brooklyn Vegan Day Show at Pianos during CMJ, you guys killed it. Favorite thing that I saw during CMJ. And then I harassed your manager, Andrew, for about a month and a half to have you guys on the show. So here we are.
Well, thank you.
So tell us what you've been up to since CMJ. You guys are record signings, things, big deals.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff happened since CMJ. We did our very first tour, which was very empowering. And, the whole idea of touring, like we had this hypothetical notion in our head that we might like actually be able to tour. But it was kind of daunting. And so we went out for our first 6 weeks tour, and it was like full perimeter of the US and a little bit in Canada. And we kind of learned what that's all about. And I think we came out on the better end of it. So we did that.
And that was opening for Fan Farlow, British band.
Yeah. Not a band, mad band to open
for.
No. Yeah. It was really wonderful.
Now, for those who haven't seen you, it's a very interesting setup. You guys sort of play, it's not like staggered like most bands. You guys sort of play like in a horizontal line. And you guys talk about like how you developed your live show and like the switching of instruments and things like that.
The switching of instruments is more of a kind of...
like
to enhance the show. Yeah, necessity, but also like enhance the show. It makes the show more interesting. You like watch a band just playing the same instruments the whole time. It kind of gets a little stale. So kind of like switch around kind of and makes the live show a little bit interesting to watch.
I think the idea also too is that like, so our writing process is really, I think, different than a lot of bands because we don't write out of like a rehearsal space. We write... or at least with this first project, it was more in like a recording space. So if you're just laying down a lot of instruments, sometimes when it comes to like playing them live, it's going to be like more convenient to play certain instruments based on who's singing and who's doing what. So there's this whole duality of like doing it. I mean, certainly there's like the component of like it being cool to see in a show, but also like it'd be really difficult to do some songs like having a certain person singing, playing a certain instrument. So it's like there's a practical element to why we switch the instruments around.
So you mentioned, so Doris, you said you're Queens native?
Yeah.
And the rest of you guys are here for 2 years. So how did, Doris, did you play in bands here? And how did you guys all meet?
I've been playing music my whole life. I started off singing when I was, I think, 7. I used to sing with my best friends, Natalie Nicole and Nina Sky. And they moved to Roosevelt Island, and I picked up the drums around 13, and I started an all-girl band, which carried on for 2 years. And then I started playing guitar, then bass, then I'm looking for a band, and now I'm here with the Freelance Whales.
And Nikki, tell them about the Doxies.
Doxies. Yeah, I was in an all-girl band for 2 years. I played drums, and it was pretty wild. We got to open up for Luna Chicks at Continental when that was still around.
Whoa. All right. Boom.
Yeah, that's all.
That was your official I was there moment of the show today.
What she's not telling you is that she used to play the drums like a little badass with her jaw wired shut.
Oh my god. Yeah, I was just to bring that up.
It's awesome
though.
She's like Kanye behind the drum kit. And then the two chicks up front would play shows topless, right?
Yeah. They would play, well, three girls. I was the only one who was shy about it. But they were like raging lesbians, so it was cool, you know. They were totally all about it. But we actually ended up playing in Greenpoint when it wasn't really all it is right now. So it was really interesting to see the scene develop, and I'm really lucky I got to experience that.
So you're from Queens. Favorite place to go eat in Queens?
Opa.
What is that?
It's a Greek restaurant. They have the best gyros, the best gyros. Well, BZ Grill is competition for Opa, but Opa is on 31st Street, right under the train station, 30th Avenue, train stop on the end. It's really good. The best Greek avgo lemon soup I've ever had.
Sweet. So why don't we have you guys play a song? Oh. Come back, we'll talk about the release, the digital release, the upcoming tour tomorrow.
Yeah.
And We're gonna do what you call like a walkout. So we're gonna say stuff while you guys get ready. Check this out.
Yeah.
So you have been listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Very excited. Freelance Whales in the studio setting up for another song. Big shout out to Roberta's meatball throwdown at the Meat Hook this Friday. And Jack Inslee and Rec Tech for helping us sound so awesome. And to Whole Food Market for taking up the reins and being our sponsor this week. If you haven't heard of Whole Foods, you are living in a rock, or you are very dedicated to the Locavar movement. I'm Terry Diabolik. To the right of me is DJ Never Forget. And this is Freelance Whales live on Snacky Tunes. Take it away, guys.
We're going to tune up really quick.
Thank you.
Fantastic. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. That is just Free Run Soils Live. Thanks, guys.
Thank
this
you.
Is awesome. We're going to bring you, come back right behind the microphones. We're going to ask you a few more questions, and then you're going to play us out. What was the name of that song?
That was called Starring.
And is that anywhere for me to buy in a pre-recorded format?
It is currently available on iTunes, but it will be further available in a hard copy, both of the archaic compact disc and the even more archaic vinyl.
My goodness.
That is on March 16th via French Kiss Mom and Pop Records.
I feel like you guys are going to do a lot of vinyl sales. You got that sound of the type of people who are like, I want this on record.
Oh.
Who's doing the artwork? What do we got?
Oh, well, so there's a lot of artwork involved in the record, and it's something we've had for a little while now. My girlfriend was kind enough to donate this sort of hand-sewn cover that she did. And it's like kind of like a little pastoral landscape with a sunset and this little house on it, which is actually a house out there in the real world. This little Japanese tea house. And so she did the cover art. And then some...
You can say her name. She's an artist.
Her name's Erin Kennedy. She's actually an architect, so this isn't the kind of thing she normally does.
Oh! Who was that?
That's like a kiss sound.
I thought that was
terrible.
I thought that was terrible. I was like, that is so unprofessional.
We don't need that sound bank. We just need Vans in here.
How is Doris blushing from this?
She kind of likes that. In any case, so there's that. And then there's also some really beautiful illustrations on the booklet on the inside done by a Chilean illustrator named Joaquin Cochina.
That's awesome. So yeah. So that's a while between now and then. I guess you can buy iTunes, but if I wanted to see you, where would I go?
If you wanted to see us play live?
Yeah. And I wasn't like wandering around the freezing cold. Are you guys still busking now?
It's a little cold for that.
Yeah.
We've been out of town so much.
Wait a second. I now have because like, do you just set up or do you actually have to go through proper permits?
We just set up.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of guerrilla style.
Okay. So you guys have been out of town and you're going out of town again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Well, going to Cleveland.
Yes.
Cleveland, Chicago, Indiana.
Yeah. We're gonna have some skyline chili.
Oh, okay. Are you really? You're gonna get the what are those hot dogs? The cheese conies.
Oh, that would be lovely. Ooh.
Do you know what those are?
Yeah, let's just talk about food.
Sounds good.
Cheese conies, because I went to Cleveland first time last February. Cheese conies. Actually, I take that back. I'm gonna stop because I'm thinking about Cincinnati.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so what do you guys, when you guys are on the road, since there's five of you, mm-hmm. how does the process of eating break down? Is there a food leader, or do you go your separate ways? Come on in. Pop right up. So what's the food process? Hit me.
Well, I like to buy fresh produce, and the guys like to eat whatever's available, so I'll hold on.
Not true.
That's a lie.
It's true.
That's a lie. You just want yogurt and apples, and we want, like, lots of different local things.
Yeah, that's
you said
cool.
You said lots of local things. Are you talking about like just restaurants or?
I'd kind of like to find like the local place, or diner, or you know, it doesn't have to be like organic local
right.
ingredients, but yeah. But like in Pittsburgh, there's this place called Pamela's that had the best pancakes I've ever eaten in my life, and I hope to visit there again when we're in Pittsburgh on sometime this weekend.
Last time I was in Pittsburgh too, and I cannot remember, but they have the sandwich there. It's like a small chain, and it's like sandwich, fries. And coleslaw on a thing. If you just ask anybody, it's like, where's the place with the sandwich and the fries and coleslaw? Because that's how I was told to ask it there. I cannot.
I'm pretty sure you can just go, I'm looking for the sand, and they just cut you off.
So,
best meal on the road? What are you guys memorable?
Probably New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
What'd you have in New Orleans?
It was pretty good.
Ooh. Alligator.
A little bit. Yeah, it was like kind of a
big sampler.
We ate alligator.
Eating frogs.
And how was it?
It was a little like chicken.
It tastes like chicken. It really is the true like tastes like chicken joke, but alligator really does taste. Yeah.
It looks like chicken.
The texture
too.
Is a little bit more like lobster though.
Yeah,
it's kind of strange.
It's good, but they usually spice it up.
Really?
I can't eat lobster, so now I'm gonna go have alligator.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I feel like the alligator and like monkfish too sometimes.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
I love it. So you guys are going all over, and when are you playing New York next?
Oh,
Wednesday the 20th.
At Mercury Lounge.
Headlining, opening?
Headlining.
Boom!
Boom!
You know headlining.
First
so
headlining.
New York.
Woo!
That's true.
So, almost sold out, I think, Ticketweb, right?
Yeah, it's on Ticketweb.
Ticketweb, listen, you're going to want to see them at the Mercury before, Was it? So I guess February next year, Terminal 5, 3 sold out.
It'll be March, Terminal 5, headlining sold out. So see them now, because just trajectory just goes whoop.
Especially now that we've put our stamp.
Yeah.
By the way, that place was Primanti Brothers. When you go back, there's like a bunch of them. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Primanti Brothers. Primanti Brothers. I mean, we might talk before then. Who knows?
Who knows? Nice.
Who knows? So anything else? Because we're going to have you guys play one more song, and we're getting dangerously close to it. Anything you want to say?
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, our pleasure. Set up
Thanks for the pizza.
Oh, well, that's Roberta's.
Yeah, the pizza thanks, is Roberta's. Great. And the artichoke. That was artichoke, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, great. I guess the last thing, too, would say is that show what we were just talking about at Mercury, we'll be playing with another band that we really love called Animal Tropical, who are somehow virtually unknown, but they're incredible.
Well, that's what happens.
So from Miami,
you
Florida.
Get to get bigger, and then you get to bring your friends along.
Yeah, it's weird because they're not even our friends. We just think they're so good.
We actually we hate those guys. We just like the music.
We're not our friends yet.
Wait, and what was there was and we were gonna have them DJ, but the live stuff was so good, and it's already set up. There was another band you wanted to shout out. What was that band? The CD you just handed me, Paul.
Local natives.
Was
absolutely.
That, shout
hey,
them
local
out.
Natives.
Hey, local natives.
Well, so check French kiss with
they're
us.
Like new label mates of ours, and they have a really beautiful record called Gorilla Manor that's out in what February?
February 16th.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. So we're gonna
February
have
February 16th.
So we're gonna have you guys set up for one more song. All of this will be available on our podcast, and you can stream this on Heritage Radio Network. And we'll probably rip the MP3s and work with Paul to just kind of get these out there too. How's that sound, Paul?
We'll figure it out.
We'll get these to you. This is great. And I'll just say, if you like this, their live show is also different. So this is nice for all you fans of like the live acoustic stuff because it's recorded. And next week on the show we have Yacht doing a mixtape and I believe a call-in from Outer Space. What do you say? And we have food guest is always a mystery. The food world is... and also we will be talking next week a little bit more. We had mentioned it 2 weeks ago about D'Artagnan's 25th anniversary. We didn't get to it today, but we have the list of programming. All I got to say is they have a $600 dinner with a combined of like 32 Michelin star chefs. It's something your stomach can dream of.
Anyway, so you are listening to Snacky Tunes with Freelance Whales live in the studio. You can pre-order their album on InSound right now. It's out in March. They're playing the Mercury Lounge on the 20th. It is awesome. Thank you to Whole Foods for sponsoring the show. Jack Insley, Rec Tech, as always, making us sound good. We are Finger on the Pulse. This is Snacky Tune. Once again, Freelance Whales.
Thanks for having us.
What's the song called?
Kilo Jules.
To interpret, I've been feeling so rested.